Well, good morning, everyone. We are in Psalm 119 once again, and we'll be looking at 16 more verses, a couple of stanzas. As we begin this morning, just looking at, I'm going to read these 16 verses, and then we'll go through them one by one briefly. Remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. Proud have me in great derision, yet I do not turn aside from your law. I remembered your judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Indignation has taken hold of me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and I keep your law. This has become mine because I kept your precepts. You are my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep your words. I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. I thought about my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. The cords of the wicked have bound me, but I have not forgotten your law. At midnight, I will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments. I am a companion to all who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. Teach me your statutes. In verses 49 through 56, you see we talk about remembering three times. We talk twice about comfort. And verse 49 is very interesting when you think about this is addressed to God as a prayer. Remember the word. Normally, I would ask the Lord to help me to remember the word, right? But here the psalmist is just asking the Lord, remember your word to your servant, or give your word to your servant, upon which you have caused me to hope. Now, I don't know where you are this morning, and I don't know where your level of required hope is this morning, but there are going to be times in life where we are desperate for hope. We are without hope based on everything around us. And man's word is not going to give the answer. Only the Lord. And only his word will give us hope. And you may have scriptures that are really yours because they're the scripture you went to in your time of greatest need or one of the times of need, and that's your verse. And you hear somebody else read it, and that's good, but it doesn't really, you know, it really may not mean as much to them as it does to you, as you can relate it to a tremendous need that you have. But here it is, remember your word to your servant, that's to me, it's to you, upon which you, Lord, have caused me to hope. And you give me that hope. I don't get it because I'm obtaining it. I get it because you caused me to have it. So it's all from him, isn't it? It's all from him. Isn't that great? And then the next verse goes right along with it. This is my comfort. This is my comfort. This is my comfort in my affliction. And how true that is. And that is the only thing that is really going to be your comfort in the greatest afflictions that you have, is his word. Again, man's word doesn't get it, you know. And how many times have you been asked for prayer or maybe to visit someone who's in great affliction, and you know, you're on your way there, or even when you get there or whatever, and you're saying, Lord, what do I say? What do I say? What words can I give that's going to really help in this situation? And the answer is pretty much nothing. Maybe a scripture, but even that has to really come. You can't be told scriptures really very effectively as you can receive the scriptures from the Lord, right? And so here we read, this is my comfort in my affliction. So this is a self-identification here with a great affliction that you've had, and you were able to lean on that word, and you know that's the only comfort source. This is my comfort in my affliction, for, or because, your word has given me not only hope, but it's given me life. Your word has given me life. Yes, the life is in the blood. The life is also in his word. He is life. He's speaking to us in his word. We know it's alive and powerful, his word. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. Wow. Those two verses right there give us all we could probably absorb this morning, or all I can digest, but we'll look at the rest of them as well. So how do you feel about the proud around you? It says, the proud have me in great derision. Oh, you Christians, you are so weak, and only the weak and the miserable have the Lord. I don't need that. I've got all I need. The proud have me in great derision, yet I do not turn aside from your law. Now here's another remember. I remembered your judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. What comfort we have. Again, there's that word comfort. What comfort we have in his word. I know each of you could give, if we went around the room, if we had time, a testimony on how the word has given you comfort, how the word has given you life, how the word has comforted you in your afflictions, particularly in your great afflictions. And then 53 is a word that hit me pretty hard. Indignation has taken hold of me because of the wicked who forsake your law. I didn't even look at the news this morning because there's never any news. It's just the old bad. It's all old bad. It's not new good. But it's like, can you believe that? Can you believe that? It's just like indignation kind of overtakes us with shock of the depth that man can go to when he turns his back against the Lord. But indignation has taken hold of me because of the wicked who forsake your law. And then the one thing that seemed to stick to me a little bit. So what is my response at that point? Is it better to be filled? Let's say I'm face to face with one of those wicked ones. Is it better for me to have this scowl of indignation on my face, or is it better to meet them with compassion on where they are? I think they already know they're wicked. I think they already know they're sinners. I think they probably feel lower than a snake. They're so low, the Lord can never help them. So maybe compassion is what I need and not more indignation. I'm not putting down righteous judgment. I think that's very important, and righteous anger that's very important. But again, it's righteous anger at the sin, not at the sinner, right? Verse 54, your statutes have been my songs. Oh, my. You know, I think the Lord loves to hear us sing. And even if my voice isn't very good, it's the voice he gave me, so he's going to give me a better voice later. But you sing with what you've got, right? Particularly, well, let's say you're in the car by yourself. You have the windows rolled up. Just sing. Sing at the top of your voice. And what do you sing? You sing his word. Your statutes have been my songs. Are the statutes your songs? Oh, I like to sing rock and roll or whatever. Well, there's nothing there. Cotton candy, nothing else. But your statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. Your house of your pilgrimage, that's your life, isn't it? Is this where we're going, our pilgrimage? in the house of my pilgrimage, not just in the house of the Lord, say when we come to worship with the others, which is good, like this morning, but in the house of my pilgrimage. And then the third, remember, in this stanza, I remember your name in the night, O Lord. Oh, isn't that good? How often does the Lord wake you up around midnight? And it's just like, you know, it's not enough just to praise him in the day. Let's praise him in the middle of the night. I used to travel a lot, and one thing I really loved about travel was what people call jet lag. I loved it because every time you wake up, you praise the Lord. So I could wake up 3 or 4 times a night. It was great. The more times I woke up, the better it was, you know? The body can't switch 8-hour time change overnight and sleep the same hours. Don't try to make it do it. When you wake up, praise the Lord. Spend time in the Word and you go right back to sleep again. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and I keep your law. Is when we remember the Word of God, we remember to be obedient, don't we? When we forget the Word of God, then we forget to be obedient. But I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and I keep your law. And then this is the result. This has become mine. This word, certain verses of it, of the 31,100 plus verses in here, are mine. They're mine. No matter what a person would do with the written word, if they take it all away, every Bible away in the world, I still have those verses in my heart. I don't know how many there are in my heart. I wish there were 10 times that or 100 times that. But there are some words. This has become mine because I kept your precepts. And when I think of that verse, it just reminds me to praise him, to love him, and to obedient to what the word says. And to be very strong that, right? And then we go to the next stanza. You are my portion, O Lord. Portion means everything. You are my everything, O Lord. You're all I need, more than I need. You, not something around me, not something, oh, if I could just have this or if I could just have that. No, that won't help at all. How much of our life have we spent trying to achieve something or get something? You know, if I could just pass this course and get an A on it, wouldn't that be great? Well, I guess it helps a little bit, but there's no eternal value probably. But this, you are my portion, O Lord. I have said I would keep your word. I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Are you doing that? Are you really praying to the Lord? Lord, give me your favor, and I'm asking that with my whole heart. Such as, Lord, help me to love you more. Help me to love one another more. I'm asking you, Lord, I'm entreating your favor with my whole heart. Oh, to be wholehearted. Oh, to be wholehearted. And then it still comes down to his mercy, because the rest of that phrase is, be merciful. Be merciful to me according to what I do. No, be merciful to me according to your word. It's all about him, isn't it? Everything we have is because of his mercy. We don't achieve anything on our own. Be merciful to me. What a great prayer. Be merciful to me according to your word. I thought about my ways. Oh, yes. I thought about my ways. Here we get the way again. This keeps coming up. Derek, the path, the road. I thought about my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. Isn't that a great reminder? We got a little poster on the wall over there, kind of Psalm 105 along those lines. Your word is a lamp to me at my feet and a light into my path. But here, when I think about the way I'm walking, my Christian walk, my non-Christian walk, those times when I'm not walking even like a believer, but I thought about my ways and I turned my feet to your testimonies. Oh, what a beautiful statement. I made haste and did not delay. Wow. How long does it take you to repent after the Holy Spirit convicts you of the sin? I bet it takes less time now than it did 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 20 years ago or however long you've been walking with the Lord. Don't you respond to that conviction like that? I hope so. Because if you're not, you're not willing to even admit you sin. Lord, you have to understand that really it would be a sin for him, but in my case, there's a different situation. No, you don't want to go there. Make haste. Make haste. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. How many times a day has that happened? It happens a lot, doesn't it? Some days even more than others. I made haste and did not delay. To not delay is to obey. To not delay is to obey, to keep your commandments. And then the cords of the wicked abound me, but I've not forgotten your law. Even when the wicked are all around you and surrounding you and tying you up, however figuratively or spiritually, I've not forgotten your law. Now here's another midnight again. Not another, but it is a midnight. At midnight, I will rise to go to the bathroom. Yes, I imagine so. But at midnight, I will rise to give thanks to you. And sometimes that's part of going. I will rise to give thanks to you. You know, I am thankful for a bathroom. You know, I can't imagine living without it. At midnight, it will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments. And then, as a believer, I am a companion to all who fear you. Think of the army we're in. What a God-fearing army. How powerful we could be if we just really sought him, right? And let him lead us. I'm a companion of all who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. Wonderful. And then the closing verse to this stanza is the earth. The earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. It doesn't say full of your wrath. It doesn't say full of your condemnation. It doesn't say full of confusion. It says is full of your mercy. The earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. And our hearts so grieve for those around us who don't know him because they don't know what that mercy is all about. Beating themselves up and staying in some kind of bondage. The earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. And then teach me your statutes. Oh, what a prayer. Teach me your statutes. 31,000 verses right here. How many of them have you been taught? How many have you learned? Or how many of the 1,129? Is it 1,129 chapters? Something like that. 1,189 chapters are you really familiar with? Or maybe another question better, how many aren't you familiar with? I hope is even more accurate. But the earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. Teach me your statutes. So, Lord, we have just been served a gracious portion of hope and assurance and understanding of your mercy, your grace, your comfort. Lead us to profitably, effectively use these moments together this morning as we would be led by you, Spirit, and pray. Whatever you put on our heart, may we be in one accord and all in agreement. May we speak as one voice. Believe us, Lord. Let's stand and let's join hands. We started out with the model prayer. Let's close with the model prayer. Doesn't get any better than that, I don't think. And just thank you, Lord, for meeting us here this morning. Yeah, grab a hand if you haven't already.